Friskier's 9th is my best. That's fun, working up to that and earning that. But I think the funnest part, though, is really just sharing that sport with other people and being with my friends and my family and just being outside and active. Getting a good score result is really fun because I've earned that, like I've worked up to that. But I still think that's not all what it's about.
Wow, that's from 10-year-old Alicia Harvey, out of the mouths of young athletes. What a great way to start things off for this episode, where we'll be really looking at fun. Now, we all know that fun is a key driver for why kids, and let's be honest, adults too, play sports. Well, what exactly makes sport fun? And how can we ensure that fun is built into the experience from the first time trying it to the last race or event? I'm Paula Baker, your host for Sport Intelligence, the Canadian Perspective, brought to you by the Sport Information Resource Center, a podcast where we like to dive deep into the strategies, research, and stories behind sport in Canada. So as I mentioned, today we're exploring fun, in particular, a tool that's changing the way coaches, athletes, and program directors think about creating fun, positive sport environments. That tool is called Fun Mapping, and our guest today knows all about it. She's Dr. Erin Sharp, an associate professor in the Department of Recreation and Leisure Studies at Brock University, and the program director for the youth rowing program with the St. Catharines Rowing Club. She's also a master's rower herself, and she's applied fun mapping to her youth program, making waves and how we think about fun and sport. Erin, welcome to Sport Intelligence. We're thrilled to have you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the invitation.
So Erin, let's start with the basics for our listeners who may not be familiar with this. What exactly is fun mapping?
Fun mapping is something I discovered. It's the research out of George Washington University named Amanda Visek. I was looking for something to help me when I took over the managing of these youth rowing programs. We were coming out of COVID. The organization was restarting. We had a blank slate coming around how we wanted to organize these programs and what we wanted to be the goals of them. And they're the intro programs. They're kids 10 years old and up, just trying something new. And fun was going to be the goal. The problem with fun, though, is it's a word we use it all the time, but what is it? And I have had other research where you try to ask kids about fun and they're stumped. They just say, I don't know, it's fun. What else is there to say?
And you landed on fun mapping and that just kind of pulled you in?
Yeah, I was searching for something in her work, gave me a tool to help understand what fun means to kids.
Okay, I'm just going to pop in here for a quick second to explain fun mapping and where it came from. As Erin mentioned, it comes from the research of Dr. Visek, who wanted to answer a simple but powerful question. What makes sports fun? To find out, she asked 142 young soccer players ages 8 to 19 to list everything that made their sport enjoyable. The result? A whopping 81 different fun determinants. Then she took things a step further. She had players sort and rank their responses, which led to the creation of the fun map, a visual breakdown of 11 key fun factors. And the top three, which have stayed consistent over time, trying hard, positive team dynamics, and positive coaching. Not trophies, not scoreboards, just the experience of working hard, feeling supported, and having a coach who lifts you up. And here's where it gets really interesting. In every study, whether in North America or even Sweden, winning consistently lands in the middle of the pack. What ranks higher? Things like learning and improving, games, practice, team friendships, mental bonuses, game time support, team rituals, and lastly, swag or nice sports gear and equipment. Something to think about if we want kids to stay in sport and keep developing as athletes. Okay, back to Erin and more fun mapping.
I think it's amazing that's at the top of the list because sometimes when we talk about, oh, that's just for fun, we think of it as the time where you take it easy and you just let things go with the flow. But for kids, the chance to try hard at something is fun. So taking that into programs, thinking about how can you create experiences where kids get to try hard is a different way of thinking about how to make this fun for kids than I think what we've seen before. And I think part of it is it's fun to move your body. It's fun as a kid to try new things with where you put your arms, where you put your legs, and how you coordinate your body parts and engage your muscles in different ways. There's just an inherent enjoyment in that. Yeah, so that's the top of the list, is the chance to try hard at something. For some kids, it comes through competition, but some kids, it's just a chance to move around and be active and try different things.
Well, I think Alicia, who's the young athlete we heard at the beginning, agrees with you. This is what she told me when I asked her about which sport she does and why. And remember, she's 10 years old.
I do ski racing, mountain biking, soccer. My favorite sport is ski racing. It's fun being outside and being active for skiing, being on the mountain and with the snow and stuff. And I like going fast for that. And I also just like being like part of a team and sharing the sport with other people. We all play games before the race and do things with my friends and my coaches before the race. And that's really fun, and to be in a team environment.
You have to love hearing it straight from the source. Okay, Erin, were there any other determinants that stood out to you?
Really, she had top four. She has 11 altogether, but the top four, trying hard is number one. Positive team dynamics is the second one. So the chance where kids get to be part of a team, show good sportspersonship, get help from teammates, have that positive set of relationships with people through their sport. And then the fourth one, learning and improving. And again, that's one that I think we don't always associate with fun.
No, a couple of those kind of surprised me, but that's really cool. So could you walk us through how you applied fun mapping within your program at St. Catharines Rowing Club?
In a few different ways. So just from getting the program started and program design, I was able to look at this tool and think about how that would play out in even just deciding how much time we spend doing different things and how we organize kids with coaches. So for example, in a learn to row program, knowing that positive team dynamics is really important to kids, that's not always part of a learn to play a sport program, especially when kids are coming from different places and it's not a team environment necessarily. So then I was trying to think about how to take some of those team aspects and build it into the program, which we were able to do through organizing kids once they arrived into things and having something at the end of the week that they got to do with this team group that they had formed.
Because it's learn to row, so they've come as individuals. They're not there building anything, and you're also hoping to pull them in and keep them in the sport.
And so trying hard and getting the chance to try different movements, again, it was thinking really thoughtfully about how to ensure that each kid, even though they're coming with different levels of abilities physically, they're different ages. So it was trying to really think about each kid individually, although they're in this group setting, to ensure that they are able to try hard, knowing that hard is different for each of the kids. So it was really coming to know their abilities and create small group opportunities for them to try something new that's new to them. And it involved a lot of really getting to know the kids and where they're at.
That's a totally different approach. What are some of the key elements that the coaches had to learn to do this process of fun mapping?
Number one, we had to make sure we had enough coaches to be able to do things in kind of small group ways and more individualized ways. Also wasn't really an easy sell sometimes, right? Because more coaches is more expensive, right? So if you're trying to keep a ratio that's low enough to be able to do this well, it's a lower ratio than what you might need to run it safely, have things where you're able to be more adaptable and individualized. We had to have more coaches. And then we spent a lot of time at the beginning of the season just really talking about, as a coach team, what this means and what this looks like. And fortunately, they also had their own experiences as athletes. So they remembered themselves what's fun to them and what positive team dynamics were for them. So as a team, they were definitely drawing on their own experiences and sharing those experiences around their fun times in sport and bringing that in.
So I'm curious, when they thought about what made rowing fun to them when they were back in that day and starting out, did it equal what the fun mapping kind of determinants are from the research itself?
It did. So the fun mapping, it was developed around mainly younger kids, like 8 years old to 13 years old. And so our coaches, they're late high school and university students, but they're like, absolutely, positive team dynamics makes such a difference to what they remember as their most fun times being in a sport it applies to me as well when I look at it. I'm an old person, but learning and improving is still so enjoyable and so much a part of what I love and find really fun about being involved in sports and recreation as a master's athlete.
I was thinking the same thing when you were talking about the determinants. It would definitely take more bodies. So then what's the ratio between athletes and coaches to do this fun mapping process?
Yeah, it's probably different depending if you're doing it as a team or as a learn to row program. We had a 1-to-5 ratio. And that meant sometimes you have a boat of 8 people. So sometimes a kid would be with 8 people and then that one coach would have a larger group. But then it also meant that you could have a coach with just 1 or 2 people and really focus in on some of those things that those kids were able to develop. So making sure our kids in the program were all getting the chance to have a little bit of that individual coaching really was important. So then we had to be really thoughtful to make sure that every kid got that chance to learn and improve within the program. There are 30 kids. Sometimes it's easy to lose track of those individuals. We had to checklist to make sure every kid got their chance to have those small group individualized coaching sessions.
That's so progressive to be that purposeful, to have a checklist and go, we really need to ensure that each child gets X, Y, and Z. Now, you have mentioned that fun mapping is especially useful in the Learn to Row program and initial phases. How do you see it benefiting these early stages?
I think we like to do things that we find fun. We like to stay with them, right? And those first times of trying something new, it's either you're hooked or you're not hooked. I would say it's important all the way along. And for us as a club, you do pay a lot of attention to the athletes that are moving through like high performance channels. So bringing this in was just as a club reminding us that these entry moments are really, really vital, really important. And if we want to just keep building not only our club and not only the program, but the sport, like really having this be something that kids can want to continue through high school, university, adulthood, you name it.
That's the bottom line. Now, can you share any specific examples where fun mapping helped you or your coaches identify areas that needed improvement?
So we also made it really explicit within our programs. We had the fun map. We shared this with kids. We had this on pieces of paper that were distributed around, and we would then use it as a way to talk with kids. We'd have a midweek feedback session where the kids would write down what's working well, where would they like to see things change and improve. So then we get immediate feedback that the coaches then, as the week continued, would be able to implement. And there were definitely some areas that in rowing we have are difficult. It's not an individual sport. You're with other people. And kids would let us know. They'd say, I want to be with the people who are at my level and I can improve with when I have the chance to be out there on the water and in the boat. So we would then circle back and make sure that those kids are getting that chance. And another thing that kids found really fun was coaches having fun with kids, right? We rotated the coaches through was them being in the boat with the kids, rowing with them is a great way to learn. And then it becomes a really fun and special day for the kids when they get that chance. And so making sure that the coaches were doing that and that the kids had that chance to go for a row with the coach was another way that this really helped us.
Can you give examples of what Dr. Visick laid out that was helpful?
A coach that participates with the players during practice was what we really hooked into as a team, because that's one where I think coaches, they have to push themselves a little bit more to do that. Sometimes the coaches want to sit back or they think that's what coaches are supposed to do. So it was really helpful to have some of these tangible things.
You're listening to Sport Intelligence, the Canadian Perspective. I'm Paula Baker, and today we're chatting with Aaron Sharp about how fun mapping can elevate sport programs by putting enjoyment front and center. We're learning about how this tool is helping coaches ensure athletes, especially young ones, stay engaged and motivated. Okay, so Aaron, did you get any feedback from the coaches regarding the fun mapping and how it was working for them?
The feedback was at the beginning, some of these of, oh yeah, I get that. And oh, I wasn't expecting that. And also knowing that coaching was so important to kids' fun, right? Having that be one of the top determinants for the coaches, they took that to heart because these coaches are high school age and university age. So they really step into that role, moving from athlete to junior coach, senior coach.
I find it really interesting, and you can agree to disagree or tell me I'm wrong here, but the fun mapping is not only for the young athletes, but I feel like you're actually laying the groundwork or, you know, for lack of a better word, mapping for good, purposeful coaching that is all embodying and encompasses all the good stuff that coaches should be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also just helps us keep everybody on the same page. Like yeah. Everybody's, oh, okay, this is why we're here. This is what we want to see. Here's how I can see where I am in it all.
Okay, now, 4 years later, how does fun mapping influence the retention enjoyment for athletes? Like, have you noticed that you've retained your athletes over these past few years? Like, basically, I'm asking, is it working?
I think it's working, but it's also working in conjunction with a good sport development set of sequence programs. This is something that can be built into every program. We added a program in between Learn to Row and the club competitive program that was meant to grab those kids who were not quite old enough for the competitive program. Rowing is a late age entry competitive sport. You don't start until you're in high school. So there are all these kids in grades 7 and 8 who were sort of done with Learn to programs. They associate those with being younger. So we needed this thing that was really just for those grade 7, 8s on the verge. And so we built a program for that using this as well. But there, the focus was really more on operating as a team, just as a team that wasn't old enough to be in the competitive program. In that program, we really step up the positive team dynamics dimension because we're able to do that a little bit more and through internal activities, get them thinking about how they are a team and working together as a team.
What do you think are the biggest misconceptions about fun and sport, especially when it comes to youth programs?
I think one is we overlook it. There's definitely the place to think about development and outcomes-based sport goals, but I think fun is what people are wanting to experience. It's the experiential dimension of involvement. And it's not antithetical to development. I think that's the other misconception, is that it's somehow those two things are seen as not compatible. Either it's fun or it's for development.
And what about fun and winning? Because I see people going, well, if it's fun, you're not working hard enough to win or to quote unquote be a success.
Exactly. Whereas trying hard is at the top of the list of determinants of fun. So there's still pushing yourself and testing your limits and trying new things and working really hard is fun. So I think the misconception that those two things aren't compatible is what hopefully this fun map breaks down.
So what advice would you give to other sport program directors who want to start fun mapping?
I think check in with Amanda Visek's work. It's very available. She's really worked hard to put it out there so people can find it. And she's got a tool that is pretty generalizable. But then I think it can be tailored to sports to create a sport-specific examples. What we did is we looked at it and then we thought, okay, what does that look like in our sport? What does learning and improving look like in a sport? What does a well-organized practice look like in our sport? It's something that I think could be a really great conversation starter amongst people in an organization, but I think it can also be a foundation for program design, using this right from the get-go and then thinking through how long is your session? How long is your practice? How are people going to be organized in your practice? And how do you make that happen in a really tangible way? And then once those balls are in place, then you're just setting yourself up for more fun success. It's been really effective to use it as a training tool when you get the coaches together to really go over it and bring in their experiences and their perspectives on it and how to elevate all these elements in the experience that they're going to be really responsible for. I think it's really exciting that this is where the sport field is heading, that this is a top of a conversation. It's really key because some of the work that we know that's been done is when people have asked about why kids drop out, it's, well, it wasn't fun anymore. And so to see how we're putting the experiential element of engaging in sport back in the center and really thinking about sport as something that is really, for most people, about the enjoyment of it. And that's where it really contributes to our life. So it's exciting to see this being brought into the conversation a little more this year. And so it's really exciting that it's part of this podcast.
Now, I know you mentioned that when initially you were thinking about fun mapping, that it was going to cost more money because you needed more coaches. So I'm curious, how hard or easy of a sell was it to your rowing club to adopt this for your program?
I know in the sport of rowing, and I think it's across the board, finding coaches is always the challenge, right? There's never quite enough coaches to go around. There's a lot happening now that's really trying to elevate the standards of coaching. Yeah. So that's really where we found common ground, because bringing in more coaches isn't a bad thing if you know that you're really also deepening the field of coaches for your sport and helping these coaches learn as junior coaches to then go on. So that's where we found common ground. The ratio is also building the coaching program. And then also the focus on the quality of the program also helps build up quality coaches, right? When we've got something as a foundation for what we're aiming for, that really sets out expectations for coaches in terms of their own behaviors, but also some of those things they don't always get a chance to think about as young people. Some of the fun elements are really organizational. It's having a well-run practice where all the equipment's ready to go. It's just paying attention to those details that allow you to make the most of the time you have. That's part of what makes the sport fun as well. Sitting around and waiting is not that fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now I'm wondering if you're aware of other sports or groups that are using fun mapping like you are.
It's been applied to junior hockey. So that's a world that we maybe focus so much on performance and like progressions. I think it's a really great conversation to be having in junior hockey, especially that's a world where kids, if you're on a travel team, it's hours, it's days, it's weeks of your life. And so making sure that fun is at the core of it is a really great conversation to be having. Also, I think some individual sports are trying to look at fun as well and how to still have positive team feeling, knowing that's such a great part of people's sport experience when you're engaging in individualized sports. So those are a couple places where the conversation's also happening.
Erin, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. Fun mapping sounds like an incredibly valuable tool for anyone involved in youth sport, and it's inspiring to hear how you're using it to create a better experience for your young rowers. So we really appreciate you taking the time for us today.
Oh, very happy to be part of this. So thanks for inviting me.
And that wraps up another episode of Sport Intelligence, The Canadian Perspective. Today, we heard about the power of fun mapping, a tool to create more positive and engaging sport environments. If you're interested in learning more about the tool, we'll be sharing links to Amanda Visek's work in the show notes. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to Sport Intelligence, The Canadian Perspective, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have any questions or comments, do not hesitate to reach out to us on social media at @CIRC_Canada on Instagram or @CIRC_Tweets on X. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.